Welcome, everybody. Good to be here in church again tonight, isn't it, all together? Let's take our Bible and turn to John chapter 17. I preached a sermon about, it's been almost a year ago in July, on God's truth. And so I'm sure all of you all remember that sermon. But I carry a little notebook with me sometimes, and I write little notes to myself when I'm out working or doing something. And when Pastor called me about preaching tonight, I got my little notebook out and was looking through it, and I'd written some things down about truth. And so we're going to have another sermon on truth tonight, but it's not the same sermon. And so so this is the second edition, if you want to call it that. Not even using the same scripture or the same points or anything, so I just want you to know that. In John chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus is praying here, and this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus for his people and for us even today. So we're not going to read the whole chapter, but beginning in verse 13, and he says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Brother Tim, would you pray for us tonight?
Father, we come before you tonight. We're very thankful for the opportunity we have once again to gather around your word. And we are so beyond words to extend our appreciation for the fact that we have to pray that you would just give him a great clarity of thought and liberty in the pulpit to present to your people what you've laid on his heart. And we look forward to your word.
Amen. Thank you. Be seated. When Jesus prayed this prayer, almost 2,000 years ago, he was praying, as we think of this subject about truth, he was praying for his people that they would be sanctified through truth, that they would know the truth. And if they needed the truth then, we need the truth as much or more so today. Jesus knew what times we'd be living in, and he knew what would be going on in the world when we were sitting here in church tonight. And so I think there's some things about truth that will help us and is necessary for us to live the life that God wants us to live. The Webster's Dictionary talks about truth, and it says that truth means something that is pure, something that is free from falsehood, or something that is the correct opinion. I like God's definition maybe a little better. And God's definition for truth, he says in verse 17, he says, "Thy word is truth." Amen. And so if you want to define what truth is, it's God's word. Right. If you want to define God's word, it is truth. And so the definition of truth really is the word of God. Now, truth is pretty important. Amen. If you want to be sure that you're going to go to heaven, you need truth, right, to come to that conclusion. We just had a family conference just last week, and so if you want to know how to have a godly family, we need truth, and that's what we received last week. If you want to make wise decisions, you need to have truth and not just make them off the cuff. If you want to know how to handle conflicts and disappointments and hurts and things in life, you need to have truth, because God has something to give to us to help us to deal with those issues. If you want to know how to please God, and probably all of us here tonight would say, yes, we would like to please God, well, we need to have truth in order to do that, because God tells us different things and truthful things so we can please him. If you want to know how to deal with sin and temptation, anybody would like to know that, wouldn't you? But to do that, we need to have truth. We need to know the truth. And you could go on and on. And so I think probably if I asked the question, we would all agree that truth is important, and that we all need it in our lives. And We have said this before, and that is that there's only one completely reliable source for absolute truth, and of course that is God's Word. And there's no error, no mistake at all. Excuse me. Without absolute truth, there is confusion. Look in 1 Corinthians. I know it's a familiar passage, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, says something about confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And so if we don't have truth, there's going to be confusion. And God doesn't want any of us to be confused. And especially his people, he does not want us to be confused. And so how does God keep us from being confused? He gives us truth. Because truth will keep you from being confused. Confusion is eliminated by God's truth. And all the confusion that's in the world today, what the world needs is a whole bunch of truth. And that would just resolve a lot of things if we would just go to God's Word, which is truth, and search out and seek what it says. It has the answer to the problems that we face in any generation. Now, when we ignore or refuse to obey God's truth, then it results in confusion. And when you're confused, you end up making bad decisions when we're confused because we don't have the wisdom of God. Something that always accompanies a bad decision is usually a failure of some sort that follows on the footsteps of confusion. And so we're confused because we haven't got the truth about something. We make a bad decision, and that bad decision always ends up with some consequences and some failures because we ignored a biblical truth. Galatians 6:7, we'll look at that a little bit later, but in that verse, God reminds us that we do reap what we sow. And so if we sow, and if we're confused and we sow the wrong thing because we've been ignoring God's truth, then there's going to be consequences that come as a result of that. When somebody's trying to convince you that you need something they have, or they're trying to sell you something, what do they usually do? Well, they tell you all the benefits of whatever it is. You know, they tell you how wonderful this horse is, and how this car is the best car that was ever made, and it was made just for you. And then they go down a list, all the reasons why you should buy this car for them at an exorbitant price. And because it's got so many benefits. And so we all need the truth. And I want to take a few minutes tonight then just to look at some of the benefits of truth. Now, we're not selling anything, but this is, it's a very valuable thing you will acquire from truth. There are some great benefits from having the truth and knowing the truth in our lives. And so point number one, the Bible truth provides a solid foundation to build our lives on. Now, look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And this is another familiar passage. You know, when we say this is a familiar passage, every verse ought to be a familiar passage. I mean, if we read the Bible all the time, it ought to all be familiar to us. So we preach a sermon, we don't try to find a verse that nobody's ever read, because hopefully everybody here's read every verse that's in the Bible several times in your life. And so, but we often say that this is a familiar passage because it probably has been preached on maybe more than some others. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," in other words, that's God's truth, "and doeth them," in other words, you obey the truths that God has given us, God's sayings, said, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, that it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And so these sayings of mine that he's talking about here, in other words, that's the truths that God's Word has for us. And he says, if we obey them, we do them, we obey those truths, he said, our house withstands the storms of life and will not fall. Look over in Luke, it talking about the same thing, but it adds a little bit more to it. in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. He is like, talking about building the same thing, building your house upon the right, a solid foundation. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And so Bible truth provides a solid foundation for us to build upon. And the verse in Luke chapter 6 that we just read adds something else. It says, Matthew says, will not fall. Luke says, will not even be shaken. The word shake there just means to waver or to doubt. It's kind of like when you build your house upon the foundation of truth, and the storms come, it's not even going to crack. You know, it's going to stand firm. It's going to hold up under the pressures and the stress that comes. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says that Jesus is the foundation. There is no other foundation that can be laid than Jesus Christ. So he's the foundation. But, well, look there just a minute. I want to read verse 10. We're more familiar probably with verse 11. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. So verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so the foundation is Jesus Christ. But look at the last part of verse 10. It says, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So it's important, obviously, that we're saved. And when we're saved, then Jesus, he's our foundation. But if we're going to have a life that withstands the trials and the tests and whatever it is that winds that come along, then we need to be careful how we build upon that foundation. Because we can still have damage to our house, even though we're built on the right foundation, if we haven't put the right building materials into the house that's on that foundation, if I said that right. You could staple a roll of paper towels. I guess you can buy paper towels now. But if you staple that roll of paper towels together and put that up for your window, when the winds come along and start blowing, it'd blow right through your window, wouldn't it? It's important that you have the right building materials in the window so that the wind don't blow it down. And so what I'm trying to say is it's important that we know the truth of how to build on the foundation. The truth is Jesus is the foundation. But there are some things that we need to know, some things that we need to do as we're building our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? There's a lot of people that are saved, but their life's a wreck. How come? How come when the storms come, their house is getting destroyed and the windows are getting blown out and it's getting damaged under the house? It's not because they've got the wrong foundation, because Jesus is the foundation, and there's nothing going to shake him. But it's because of what we put into our life and put into the house and life that we're building on that foundation. We've not been following God's truth, not been following God's blueprint. And so as a result, our house still and our life still can suffer damage when the storms of life come. So the first point, Bible truth provides a solid foundation on building our lives on, knowing how to build on Jesus Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. And so our first point is the Bible truth will help us build on that solid foundation. The second point, Bible truth creates stability. God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so numerous times throughout the Word, God tells us to stand firm, stand fast, be steadfast. So this is something God wants to happen. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so the Bible says we are not to be tossed to and fro. We're to mature and grow up and become mature enough that we're just not, the wind does not blow us back and forth in different directions, that we're steadfast. And so why are some tossed to and fro? Why are some believers, and this is written to believers here, and so why are some people who are saved, born again, why are they tossed to and fro? Why are they not steadfast in their life? In other words, one day they believe one way, next day they believe the other way. And they're back and forth from believing one thing and then believing something else. They're not steadfast. There's no stability. They're living in a state. And when you're not steadfast, you're living in a state of confusion. And that's what we've already been talking about. Not, God is not the author of that. Now, verse 15 of that chapter tells us where this confusion comes from. And so he says, don't be tossed to and fro. But then he says, speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so he says, look, in order to not have confusion, so you'll be steadfast, so you won't be tossed to and fro, you need to have the truth, speaking the truth, so that you can grow up and so that we can mature. And when we have a truth that we fail to obey or fail to pay attention to or apply it to our lives, then it's going to create confusion in our lives. Some of the pain that we have in our life, not all of it is, but some of the pain that we spiritually and physically even sometimes is a result of, is self-inflicted because we ignore a truth. When we ignore a truth that God states, then it's probably going to end up being some pain that, as a consequence of not obeying that truth. And it's important to obey the truth. The reason I do not take a hammer and just hit my finger every morning before I go outside is because of the truth. I know that if I hit my finger with a hammer, it's going to hurt. It's going to bleed. And my thumbnail is going to turn black and come off. And I can't hold my Krispy Kreme donut the right way. And so so we want to be careful because it may, you know, we can laugh because that was kind of a silly illustration, but it's serious when we ignore a truth. And it's even worse than hitting yourself with a hammer when we ignore God's truth and the consequences that are going to come from it. So God doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to have stability in our life. He wants us to be stable. And, you know, if those of you that still have children, a lot of children here in our church, and we're certainly thankful for them and pray for them all the time. But if you want your children to grow up to be confused adults, you know how to do it? Just be a confused parent. Because confused parents will produce confused children. And so if the parent's not stable, it doesn't mean that children can't overcome that. Many do, or some do anyway, but many don't. Many stay confused because they're just following the footsteps of a confused parent. And so that's a pretty serious truth to ignore about being stable. Because it has some long-lasting consequences, not only to us, but to the generations that come after us. So, Bible truth provides the tells us how to build on Jesus Christ, our foundation. It tells us how to be stable, and it creates stability in our life. And we all need to be stable, and need to be able to be trusted. Then the third thing, John chapter 14 and verse 6 is a passage that we are familiar with as well. But it says, Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The third thing about truth is that it always stays the same. Jesus Christ said, I am truth. And then another passage says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So couldn't we come to the conclusion from that the truth stays the same because Jesus is the truth and he doesn't change. And so the truth stays the same. And so Jesus said, I'm the truth. He stays the same means that truth doesn't change. Now, why then do some Christians depart from Bible truth? What causes people to forsake the truth and to just kind of ignore it or bypass it, overlook it, and feel like that it's not relevant or is not important for us today? I think one reason is that some let me give you four or five things just quickly. Some people think circumstances change the truth. They don't. The truth stays the same no matter what the circumstances are. And just because circumstances are different doesn't mean, oh, okay, we're living, you know, in 2020. So that means that a truth that was in 200 years ago or 500 years ago or whatever, because circumstances are different in the time that we live, that truth doesn't apply anymore. No, that's a faulty belief. And that's why some people don't depart from the truth, because they think that because of their circumstances or the circumstances that we live in today, that changes the truth. Don't fall for that. Some people depart from the truth simply because they think that the majority thinking changes biblical truth. It's a good thing Noah didn't believe that. If he had, he wouldn't have obeyed God's truth and built the ark. If he, well, the majority thinks it's foolish. And so there wouldn't have been an ark. I guess if there hadn't been an ark, there wouldn't be us. I mean, the whole world would have been destroyed, and there wouldn't even been a people again. But the majority, just because the majority believes something, doesn't change the truth. If the majority forsakes the truth is still the truth. And so we don't want to let that change us. Some people think man's opinion changes Bible truth. And so men give their opinion about different things, and when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes people give their opinion about some truth that Christians believe, and they're quite eloquent in their exhortation of it. And so some people think, well, because these people, they got all these different opinions, and they get together and have this little group meeting, and they decide that this particular truth is just not truth anymore. It doesn't really apply to us today. It can be ignored. And so a lot of people depart from the truth because they listen to these, I'm trying to think how to say this in a nice way, to these people that don't believe the truth, kind of like an idiot, you know, that's kind of what I was trying to not say that, but but they take the truth and they just twist it and cover it over, or just try to push it away and push it aside. And I think that's being pretty foolish, and it's even more foolish for us to believe them and to let their foolish opinion cause us to depart from the truth. Some people depart from the truth because they think that church teaching changes Bible truth. Because there are some churches, if you want to call so-called churches, that don't tell the truth, or they've stopped telling the truth. But that's not, we shouldn't depart from the truth just because organizations or a church that calls himself a church does not preach the truth anymore. In fact, God is quite specific about warning against false teachers and false prophets, that he says there will be, even in the church, they will come in and lead people astray if you're not careful. And so the church does not change the truth of God's word if they disagree with. Some people think science changes Bible truth, you know, because it's scientific, and because of science, and they've come up with this whatever. In other words, science found a fossil that was 5 million years old. Now, you could sure build something on that, couldn't you? Only problem is, there are no fossils 5 million years old. Because the world's not 5 million years old. Right. How could there be a fossil 5 million years old if the world's only 6 or 7 or 10,000 years old? How could a fossil go back before that? It couldn't. And so anytime science says silly things like that, we don't want to let that influence us from believing the truth. So none of these things I just mentioned change Bible truth. Bible truth is always going to be true, whether we believe it or not. Even if I don't agree with it, even if I don't like it, truth is still truth. Right. So I just challenge you. You say, well, I just don't think that you can be, just know all that and accept the truth. Well, just go home and hit your thumb with a hammer. And that will remind you, oh, there is truth. You know, and I need to pay attention to it, even if I just don't agree with it. And there may be some young people who have never hit their thumb with a hammer. I've never done it on purpose, but I have done it. So I do know the consequences. And so some of you young people might just say, well, I just don't believe that. And so if you go home tonight, maybe you should ask your parents first. But if you go home tonight and just take your dad's big old hammer and whop down on your thumb, you're going to find out, say, whoa, Brother Auger was telling the truth. And so even if I don't agree with it or understand it, or even if I don't like it, truth is still the truth. And we find it out sooner or later. Sooner or later, we'll find out that what God said was true. So when any of the above things that we just talked about discount the Bible truth, we need to ignore it. What even if a Christian friend, if I have a Christian friend who goes against Bible truth, what should I do? I mean, after all, they're Christian too, and maybe they've been saved a lot longer than I have. It don't make any difference how long you've been saved. Truth's still the truth. Right. And if you say the truth's not the truth, I don't care if you're old as Methuselah. You're wrong. Because it's never right to discount God's truth. So what am I supposed to believe? Does God have an answer for that question I just stated? If you have somebody that is a friend, and they're a Christian, but they're telling you something that's contrary to a Bible truth, how are you supposed to respond to that? God tells us how to do it. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. God forbid, yea. Now notice, here's what he says. Let God be, we're talking about somebody that's discounting a biblical truth. They're telling you something that you know is against what the Word of God says. How are you supposed to respond to it? Well, here's how God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, like it or not, God says, let God be true and every man a liar. Then he says, as it is written. In other words, as God has written the truth down in his word, and when anybody, it doesn't make any difference whether they're saved or unsaved or who they are or what their credentials are, when they'll go against God's truth, God says they're lying to you. God doesn't beat around the bush, does he? That's pretty plain, isn't it? If somebody's telling you something that's contrary to what the Bible says, God says that person is a liar. Now, we might not call them that, but God did. And that's what God says. And certainly we don't want to follow somebody that's lying to us, that's trying to get us to bypass or ignore the truth of God's word. So what God has said, what God has written is true. And anybody that says anything different, the Bible says that they are lying to us. And so we want to adhere to the truth, not to what somebody says about the truth. So the fourth thing about Bible truth, and that is the Bible truth keeps me from guessing. First John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, God doesn't want us to be guessing about a lot of things. And so that's why he gives us some truth. I don't have to guess about my salvation because God has written some things that tell me the truth so I can know whether I'm saved or not. And he doesn't want me to live my whole life wondering and guessing if I'm saved. You don't have to guess about creation. You don't have to say, well, I wonder. You know, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, but the scientists got all this so-called evidence, you know, But and so it kind of leaves some people anyway guessing. They're not really sure. God gives us truth so we don't have to guess about that. We don't have to guess about creation. We don't even have to guess about what marriage is. And a lot of people are guessing about that today. They don't know for sure what it is. Some of them don't even know for sure whether they're male or female. And they're guessing about things God doesn't want us to guess about. There's no need to be guessing about what God says. His truth says is certain. Now, the guessing game started in the Garden of Eden, actually, when there was just two people. Because Satan come along and cast doubt. You remember the story? We don't have to go back and read it, do we? And Adam and Eve were told by God not to eat of the one particular tree. And the devil comes along and he talks to Eve about it. And Eve considers what he said, which was a mistake in the first place. But it made sense to her. Well, that tree does look pretty appetizing. It does look pretty good. And Satan says, you know, if you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like God. Whoa, that'd be something to be just like God. If eating of that tree is going to make me just like God, that sounds like a pretty good thing. And he convinced her to put a question mark after God's truth, because God had clearly said, don't eat of that tree. Eat of all the other trees, but don't eat of that one, because if you do, you'll surely die. And the devil says, no, you won't surely die. And so now she's starting to guess. Is God right or is Satan right? Is God telling the truth or is Satan telling the truth? She wasn't sure. And so she starts guessing, and the result was she made a very bad decision because she doubted God's word. In fact, all mankind is still reaping the consequence of that bad decision. And that's another sermon, I guess, but that's why we want to be careful about making bad decisions, because sometimes bad decisions may just affect you that day that you made it. But some decisions, bad decisions, last for a long time. Some of them last for generations to come because of one bad decision. So we need to know God's truth, because God's truth is going to keep us from making decisions based on guesswork. You know, I guess this is the right thing. I hope this is the right thing. God wants us to be sure before we make important decisions in our life. When we start second-guessing God's truth, thinking that we can skirt around it without having any consequences, we make a serious mistake. Look at the verse we mentioned earlier in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so when we do things based on guesswork rather than based upon Bible, solid Bible truth or Bible principles, then and we just start making and guessing whether we're doing the right thing, God says, look, and thinking that if I make the wrong decision, you know, people make wrong decisions all the time, no big deal. And we think that there's not going to be a big deal about it. He says we're deceived. We've deceived ourselves. And in fact, he says actually we're mocking God. When we're living by guesswork all the time instead of by truth, we're mocking God. And the word mocking there, I mean, the idea of mocking here is just like kind of sticking your nose up in the air, you know. Just kind of like, okay, God, so what, you know, I'll do this my way. Kind of an arrogant, proud idea. He said that's mocking God. Boy, that's not a smart thing to do, you know, to mock God. We all know that. We know there's going to be consequences when we do that. So Bible truth keeps me from living my life based just upon guesswork. You know, I can know what God wants me to do about certain things or not do about certain things because he gives me truth, and I don't have to be guessing at it. And then where are we at? Number 5. Bible truth also is part of my spiritual armor and is to be worn daily. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. When it talks about the armor of God, and we'll just read those two verses. But in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, And so it lists the different parts of the armor. But one of the things he mentions here is about wearing have our loins girt about with truth. In other words, I'm to wear the truth, I'm not to be ashamed of the truth. I'm not to hide the fact that I believe the truth. And so when things come up that the truth needs to be known, I shouldn't be ashamed to be wearing the truth. I shouldn't be ashamed for people knowing what I believe about something. I shouldn't be ashamed for people knowing, say, hey, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't think that was a funny joke at all. We just need to, wear the truth and not be ashamed of it. When we're interacting with coworkers, we need to be wearing the truth. Sometimes it may mean you had to go down to the end of the table and drink your coffee by yourself, because you don't want to listen to all the garbage that's going on at the other end of the table. But we need to wear the truth. Yeah, we don't have to get up on the table and necessarily and preach a sermon and say, you bunch of heathen, We just get up and say, hell, no, I don't care to listen to that. Say, what are you going down there for? Well, I just didn't like the conversation up there, and so I just wanted to kind of get away from it. I mean, you can be nice about it, but you still get your point across pretty clearly. And so pretty soon, every time they see you get up and go to the other end of the table, they're thinking, uh-oh, what do we say now? And they know that what they just said something that was offensive to you as a Christian. And they're probably down deep in their heart, no, I really shouldn't have said that, And should have more sense. We need to wear the truth. When we're searching on the internet, we need to wear the truth. If you do that, most people do, I guess, nowadays. That's just part of life, isn't it? But we have to wear the truth, because there's some things on there that's good, some things that are not so good. I mean, I look up things a lot of times how to fix something, because I'm too dumb to figure it out myself, and so I have to listen to this guy tell me how to do it. And in fact, most of the times I have to listen 3 or 4 times before I finally get it down. And sometimes I hit pause and then do that step and then go to the next step. But there are some things on there that's not really going to do you much good. In fact, they're going to do you a lot of harm. And so we need to wear the truth. When we're telling a joke, we need to wear the truth, don't we? And just because everybody else is telling bad jokes doesn't mean we have to, or we don't. And I think sometimes even as Christians, they think, well, I'll tell one, it's just, it's really not really that bad, but just a little over the edge, because I want to kind of fit in with the guys. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of a prune or something, And so we kind of leave the truth, don't we? We're not wearing the truth. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So just don't do it. When we're playing sports, we need to wear the truth, and be honest with ourselves and be honest with others about the truth, and not let sports become something that causes us to do something that we shouldn't do. So everything that I do, it's my actions, my speech, my recreation, my thinking, my friendships, and you could go on down the list. All should be in line with God's truth. God's truth should direct every step that we take. Now, we're not perfect, are we? Anybody here perfect? And we don't always do things the way we ought to do. But in the back of our mind, we ought to be thinking, is this in line with God's truth? Is what I'm about to do, what I'm about to say, what I'm about to be engaged in, is it in line with God's truth? Is there anything in God's truth that's telling me I'm doing the wrong thing? And then, we need to follow that truth. 1 Corinthians, just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. And so, there are things that we may do today that come up that the Bible doesn't specifically speak about, but there's a truth that can help us make the right decision concerning it. You see, I don't think when the Bible was written, they had Little League baseball. And nothing wrong with Little League baseball, unless you're playing on Sunday and missing church. But there is a truth about missing church. And so if anything comes in line, says, well, in order for me to participate in whatever it is, I'm going to have to miss church. That means I'm going to have to bypass that truth of not forsaking the assembling of myself together. For some people, that's just a big problem. To me, that's no problem at all. It's simple. If you have to play Little League on Sunday and miss church, what's the big question? You don't play Little League. I mean, to me, that just seemed like that's just so simple to figure that out because of what God's truth says. And so we need to let God's truth. We need to put on that spiritual armor, and we need to wear it every day. Armor, the spiritual armor that God's talking about here, is not just for Sunday. It's for every other day of the week, and every other activity, and every other thing we're doing. Well, so these are some of the benefits that we've listed here about the truth. That it provides us the blueprint for building on Jesus Christ, building our life on that solid foundation. It creates stability in our life as a believer, so we can have a godly testimony to others. It stays the same. It doesn't ever change. God's truth doesn't. It keeps me from guessing about what I should do, and helps me know what I should do or shouldn't do. It's part of my spiritual armor that I'm supposed to, so to speak, get up every day. And before I take off for the day, I need to be sure I got my armor on and put my spiritual armor on. Because you see, it doesn't take just getting out of bed and walking into the kitchen without your armor on till you get a dart from the devil or from somebody else that you live with, you know. So you got to have your armor on all the time, don't you? No offense. So I need to put my armor on. The reason God said to put on the whole armor of God, because we need to put on the whole armor of God. God didn't say put on the whole armor because it really make you look better. No, it's not a fashion thing. It's a protection thing. You know, to protect us from the wiles of the devil. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 or 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, we should not seek to know God's truth. We should not follow God's truth for our own glory. But for his. The Pharisees did the first. They followed the truth, but they did it for their own glory. They followed the truth and was basically saying, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm following the truth. I don't do this or I do that and whatever and so forth. So their purpose for following the truth was just to draw attention to themselves and to bring glory on themselves so people would brag on them. That's not what we're supposed to do. Yes, we should follow God's truth. We should know God's truth. But the reason for doing it is so we can bring glory to God. And so we can point out. So the Pharisee says, hey, I'm doing the right thing. Look at me. We do the right thing and say, look at Jesus. That should be our attitude and our philosophy. So what should be our motive for knowing and obeying God's truth? John chapter 14, just a couple more verses. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, go down and read it. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and so on. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. And so our motivation for knowing the truth and obeying the truth is because we love God and because we want to please God. And so I want to know all the truth that I can know. I want to obey that truth because I love God. I'm not doing it to show off. I'm not doing it to try to impress anybody. I love God and I want to please Him. Isn't that a good way to live? Live our lives. I just love God and I just want to please Him every day. Boy, that would change the way we live if we would just think about that every time before we say something. I want to please God. Before we even think about something, well, I want to please God. Before we get involved in something that we should, I want to please God. Before I act, I want to please God. It'd be a good thing for us to say every time. So, Lord, we want to obey Your truth. I hope that's for all of us. We want to learn it, and we want to obey it. Here's a good thing to think about as we get ready to have invitation, and that is, Lord, help me that every time I read the Bible, I read Your Word, every time I listen to a sermon, help me to look for a truth that I can or need to apply to my life. And help me build upon that, just to constantly be building upon, constantly looking for truth. And we all talked about, and we've heard oftentimes from different ones that are preaching about the importance of not just reading God's Word, but of getting something out of it. And one of the ways to do that might be every time we have our devotions every morning, just in that little square where it's got the scripture you're reading, just write down a truth that come across in those verses that you read. And when you get done with the month, you got 30 truths that you've thought about. And then when you think about that truth all that day, you know, and start making the truths of God come a little more alive. I'm sure that every time we read the Bible, there's a truth there, you know, in every passage of Scripture. And God wants us to know what His truth is, and He wants us to look for it. I'm just saying that when you look for something, you're a lot more apt to find it. And so if every day I'm reading, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to read my devotions now, and say, Lord, there's some truth in there I'm sure that You want to show me. Help me not to think about mowing the yard while I'm reading. Help me to think. Help me to look for that truth. Because how many people have ever repaired your lawnmower while you're doing your devotions in your mind? You know, you're thinking the whole time you're reading devotions what you need to do and how you're going to do it. And in time you get done, you're reading the devotion, it says, you go out and, well, I know how to fix the lawnmower now, because that's what you was thinking about. I'm just saying, look for a truth every time that we read God's Word. And here's something as we had invitation time. This would be something good for all of us, I think, to do. And that is, Lord, if there's a truth in Your Word that I'm not aware of or that I've forgotten, need to be reminded of, would You show me what it is? Would You show me that truth that I'm not even aware of, that I need to know? Or would You remind me of a truth that I've kind of let slip through my fingers and not paying attention to it anymore? Would You show me what that is? And Lord, if You'll do that, if You'll show me that truth that I need to know, remind me of that truth that I've forgotten, then I will respond accordingly, and I will start applying that truth to my life. Are you afraid to do that? Some people are afraid to do that because they're afraid of what the truth that God might tell them. We should never be afraid of God's truth because it's going to make our life better. It's going to make God pleased with us. And we're going to be a better testimony for Him. So let's stand together and just bow our heads for a minute.